All right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, radio listeners. What a blessing it is to be with you again today. We are going to have such a blessed program for you, and I pray, God, that you will gain great knowledge and also take the information and apply it. So I am so grateful and thankful for today. I pray, God, you are rejoicing as I am, and today that the Lord has made. I would like to introduce to our community, of course, he and his wife live in this community, but I'd like to introduce to you today, Dr. Francis Powell will be with us this morning, and oh my gosh, I am so excited about the information he will share with us today. I want to introduce you, Dr. Powell. He is retired. He kept emphasizing that word to me, retired tenured college professor who has dedicated his career to teaching graduate and doctoral students at the university across Texas and Mississippi and also in Louisiana. And I hope, Dr. Powell, you'll share a little bit about your time, your growing up there in Mississippi. It was interesting to hear if you'll share a little bit about that. And also, Dr. Powell has published works in publication, The Psychological Impact of the COVID-19 Pandemic and Its Consequences. And also, he is, in addition to all that he has done, which he has such a passion for education and serving others through research, leadership, and community engagement. So Dr. Powell will be with us this morning. He's been invited to do presentations at numerous state, national conferences, and I hope that we will get to hear from some of his knowledge and wisdom throughout our community through conferences, through workshops, through presentations. And I guess I'm going to volunteer him right now that Dr. Francis, I believe he would love to come and speak beyond today to churches, to organizations, to various gatherings, to share his wealth of knowledge with us. And so today we're going to welcome Dr. Francis, and we're going to be dealing with a topic that is oftentimes neglected and even ignored by the church. We're going to be talking about spirituality and mental health. And so often we don't address those two together in the church among Christians. And I want you to know, listeners, that surely God has equipped physicians that care for every part of our bodies. At one time, it was only one doctor that took care of everything, but now we have specialists for every member of the body, every part of your body, we have specialists. And certainly, I believe God has equipped Christian men and women that care for our spirit, our soul, and our mind. So today, we're combining with Dr. Francis's expertise, spirituality, and mental health. And Dr. Francis, good morning. And if you would just share with our listeners your growing up time there in Mississippi.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, and thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be here, and I'm grateful that we've created a space to have this type of conversations. Yes, I am originally from a little small rural town in Mississippi called Louisville, Mississippi. Now, I was a child. I grew up there in the 60s, and in Mississippi has had, unfortunately, a history of being not so nice. It was a hostile social environment during that time. It was Jim Crow South, segregation, and all of that. And as I was sharing with you when I walked into the station, some of my childhood experiences were rather interesting. You know, the little rural town that I grew up in was about 15 miles away from another small town in Mississippi called Philadelphia, Mississippi. And some of you may remember Philadelphia, Mississippi, as the place where the three civil rights workers were killed during that time in Mississippi. But the interesting thing about growing up in that era and in that time was the resilience and the strength of our community and our families at that time, because as a child growing up, my parents were very careful to protect our childhood. So we grew up as children, and even though that social environment, that social conditions was there, we didn't know anything about it. It was much later, as I became older, that I really realized some of the history that went along with Mississippi.
How awesome. I love the way you say resilience, which speaks to what we'll be talking about today as well as, and I want to just give the listeners a heads up. This topic is so, spirituality and mental health, it's so important, and it's such a needed conversation that we'll have conversation today, but I want our listeners to also know that we will continue our discussion next Tuesday, Lord's willing, about some other aspects, some additional aspects to what we'll be talking about today. And I just want to kind of ask Dr. Powell, why do you think that this is so important, especially in the African-American community?
Well, mental health is something that affects virtually every family. Yet, particularly in communities of faith, we haven't always felt comfortable talking about things like depression, anxiety, trauma, grief, or emotional distress. So during our time together today, I'd like to challenge one idea in particular. Now, being a person of strong faith does not mean you're immune to emotional struggles. You can love God and still hurt. You can trust God and still become overwhelmed. You can pray and still need help. And I think the Bible makes that very clear. So this conversation that we're having today, I think, is particularly important in the African-American community. Because historically, African Americans have had to be strong. Mm-hmm. I spoke about resilience earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, our ancestors survived slavery, segregation, racism, emotional hardships, discrimination, violence, and tremendous loss. So strength became a part of our survival. Mm. And the Black church became one of the places where we found hope, dignity, community, leadership, and spiritual strength. But sometimes there can be unintended consequences of always putting emphasis on strength. Okay, people began believing that I have to handle this myself. Yes. Whatever I'm going through, I have to handle this myself. I can't let anybody know I'm struggling, or I just need to pray harder. Mm-hmm. One of the things that many of us have heard growing up, particularly as it relates to challenges with anxieties, challenges with depression, challenges with mental health issues. We hear the saying that what happens in this house, mm-hmm. you know, stays in this house.
Yes.
Now, there's a value in privacy, okay? But there's a difference between privacy and secrecy.
Mm.
Okay. When secrecy keeps us from getting the help we need, it can become harmful. So you talked earlier about churches sometimes, and sometimes the church unintentionally mm-hmm. can contribute to some of the negative stigmas that we have about yeah. mental health, okay? And it's not intentional in most mm-hmm. cases. Churches have helped millions of people through difficult periods in their life. You know, faith communities are tremendous sources of support, but sometimes we oversimplify mental mm-hmm. illness. You know, someone says, I'm depressed. And we immediately say, well, mm-hmm. we'll pray about it,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yes.
Someone says, I'm anxious, and we say, well, just give it to God. Someone says that they're seeing a therapist, and some people may wonder if they have enough faith. If you do where's mm-hmm. your faith mm-hmm. if you're seeing a therapist? Now, I absolutely believe in prayer. I believe in Scripture. I believe in the healing power of God. But I also believe that God works through people.
Yes, yes.
God can work through a pastor. God can work through a physician, through a counselor. And God can work through medication when it's appropriate. Those things don't have to compete with our faith.
Awesome.
Right. So when you look in the Bible, the Bible, even though it doesn't talk directly about mental health, but the Bible provides us with a lot of stories about mm-hmm. people that God loved going through emotional struggles. So that brings me to the point of talking about David and why I want to talk a little bit about David is because if you know the story of David, David destroys the myth that people who are close to God don't experience emotional
yes.
struggles. Okay, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. But when you read Psalms, you don't find a man pretending that everything is wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Okay? You find a man in David as a person experiencing the full range of human emotions. Okay? David experienced fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, King Saul tried to kill him.
Yes.
David was afraid of that. Okay, so he experienced fear. David experienced grief, especially the death of Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he experienced loneliness, discouragement. He experienced tremendous emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalms 42, David even asked, he said, why, my soul, are mm-hmm. you downcast?
Yes.
Why so disturbed within me? Now, think about that language. Okay. Mm-hmm. David is having a conversation with his own soul. He's asking himself, mm-hmm. why am I feeling mm-hmm. like this? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many people listening today can relate to that, can relate
absolutely,
to
yes.
David's condition. Have you ever awakened and thought, you know, why do I feel this way? Why am I so discouraged? Okay. Why can't I shake this sadness? Sometimes we don't even understand our own emotion.
Mm.
Now, David didn't hide that experience from God. In fact, David actually questioned God,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's another reason why I think David's story is so important. In Psalm 13, David says, you know, how long, Lord?
Okay?
Mm-hmm. He says, will you forget me forever? Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, that's an incredibly honest statement. David felt forgotten by God. He felt abandoned okay? And he felt that God wasn't answering him, that God wasn't listening to him, that God was absent from him. Now, here's what, to me, where that story get interesting. Now, even though David was having all of those emotional turbulence, okay, God doesn't reject David for questioning him. He doesn't reject David for saying the things that he said. David's honesty doesn't destroy his relationship with God.
On some point, right? Yes.
David keeps talking to God. And that's something that I want the listeners to hear. Faith doesn't mean pretending that everything is okay when it isn't. Sometimes faith sounds like, God, I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm angry. God, I'm afraid. God, I don't understand what's happening. And even, God, where are you? Okay. That's still prayer. Prayer isn't always shouting and celebrating. Okay. Sometimes prayer is crying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes prayer is sitting quietly before God because you don't even know what to say. Emotional honesty is certainly not a lack of faith. You know, actually, I think emotional honesty can be an expression of faith. Okay? David believed enough in his relationship with God to tell God the truth. Okay, I sometimes say, you know, I think to myself, now if God can handle David's honesty,
yes,
he can handle mine as well.
Yes.
We don't have to perform for God. He already knows how we're feeling.
Mm.
And I think that has particular relevance in the African-American community because for generations, we sometimes learn to put on our Sunday face,
I
call it. You know, you can be hurting all week, but when somebody asks you at church, how you doing, what is the automatic answer that mm-hmm. we say? A lot of times we say, I'm blessed.
Yes.
And I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yes.
Okay? And you very well may be blessed, okay? And that's fine. But you can be blessed and hurting at the same time. You can be grateful and grieving at the same time. You can have faith and still need somebody to talk to. Those things are not contradictions. So David is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you listen to David's struggles,
yes,
you listen to his conversation with God, someone who loved David. And if David can have those doubts, that uncertainty, and still cry out and still call out, you know, we aren't immune to those same feelings ourselves.
Awesome.
That's part of the human condition.
And so often, I love the way you said, compete. You know, we don't have to allow our emotions and our faith are not in competition when we do acknowledge them. And I love the way you said, emotional honesty. So our emotions do not have to compete with our faith. I want to share with the audience Psalms. And we know Psalms is pretty much our go-to book for encouragement. And I want to share with the audience, I love the way you talked about the language of the Psalms, that we begin to read the Psalms in a language that you have so greatly laid out. But in Psalm 6 and verse 6, David said, I am weary, and my groaning all the night make I my bed to swim. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That he's crying
all night long.
He's
yes.
crying. Yeah. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And so often it's done in silence. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for you pointing out David's language and always, and I think perhaps the Psalms speaks to us so much because he does end up coming back to his faith, coming back to God, I know you're here. God, I know that you are with me. God, I trust you. So we can always, yes, read the first part, but then we come to the end where we can know that God is with us. And so, Dr. Powell, I think you also want to point out Elijah, some of the other men and women of the Bible that dealt with some of these issues.
Absolutely. Certainly. While David's story is interesting, Elijah's story may even be more surprising. You know, in 1 Kings 18, okay, in that, Elijah experienced an extraordinarily spiritual victory on Mount Carmel, okay? He confronts the prophets of Baal. He prays, and God answers with a fire from heaven, the scriptures say. Now, imagining witnessing something like that, okay? You're seeing your prayer answered in a in real time at the moment, okay? Now, you would think if you had an experience like that you would always know God is there.
Yes.
Okay? But you would think that you would be unstoppable. You think Elijah would be unstoppable. You think that if he witnessed something like that, regardless of what he's going through, that he would have confidence because he's witnessed it before, that this too can God can resolve this as well. But but when we get to 1 Kings 19, we see this drastic change in Elijah. Okay, so what happened? What's going on? Well, the Bible tells us, well, one thing, that Jezebel is trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and you would think that Elijah would know, well, I'm His God's power can protect me from this, but no, it doesn't. Elijah gets scared, which is a human fear, is a human emotion. Mm-hmm. Okay, he gets scared. Okay, this same man who just demonstrated extraordinary courage becomes afraid. Okay, he goes into the wilderness. When I look at the mental health professional, I'm interested in what happened next. How does someone goes from being that strong that we saw earlier to reaching that kind of emotional low? Okay, so I think that makes Elijah so relevant to the conversation about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we assume that someone, because someone is functioning, that they're okay. Those are not necessarily the same thing. A person can continue working, taking care of everybody else, going to church, paying their bills, showing up for work, and doing everything that they're supposed to do, and still become emotionally exhausted. And see, that what was happening to Elijah was he became emotionally exhausted. I've seen people hold themselves together during a crisis because they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the family needed them. The job needed them. Somebody was sick. There was death. There was a financial crisis. They kept going because they have to. Then, you know, sometimes after the immediate crisis have passed, that's when everything hits them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read Elijah's story, I see a man who had been carrying an enormous amount of pressure, and eventually he reached his limit. Okay, that doesn't make him weak.
Mm-hmm.
That makes him human.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that stands out about Elijah's story is that he went off by himself. Okay, now I think that's very important. When people become emotionally overwhelmed. Sometimes they withdraw. Okay, they stop answering phones. They don't want to talk. They stop doing things that they normally enjoy. Sometimes they tell you, "I just want to be left alone." Mm-hmm. Now, wanting some time alone doesn't automatically mean something is wrong. I mean, we all may need solitude at time, but when someone is already struggling emotionally, prolonged isolation can be a concern. Okay, and Elijah wasn't just looking for a quiet mm-hmm. afternoon. Okay, he was deeply distressed. Look at it. He was deeply distressed. He was exhausted. He was afraid. And he started isolating himself. And he reached a point where he said he had had enough. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's serious.
Yes.
When you get to that point, that's serious. If someone said something like that to me today, that I've had enough, that I don't want to live anymore, I wouldn't dismiss that as somebody that's having a bad day. Mm-hmm. I would take that statement seriously. So after all of that, what happens to Elijah after that? Okay. Now, this is the part of the story that I find especially interesting from a mental health perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, before there was any long spiritual conversation, okay, we saw where David talked, but with Elijah, before there was a long spiritual conversation, Elijah sleeps. He sleeps. Okay, God allowed yes. him to have a good night rest.
Yeah,
he sleeps. Okay, then he eats. Mm-hmm. Okay, he drinks. And then he gets some more rest. Now, I think there's something very practical in that. Okay, when we're talking about mental health, sometimes we separate the mind from the body as though they're unrelated. They're not. You heard the expression, a sound mind, mm-hmm. sound body.
Yes.
Okay, and someone who's gone several nights without adequate mm-hmm. sleep, ask them how they're doing. They probably tell you that they're not mm-hmm. feeling well because they have gone, they're not getting a proper rest. Ask a caregiver mm-hmm. who is exhausted. Okay, ask someone who hasn't eaten properly, proper nutrition, because they are depressed and overwhelmed. Okay, our physical and emotional health affect each other. Again, sound body, sound mind. So Elijah's story gives us an opportunity to talk about the whole person, okay? The physical, the emotional, the social, and spiritual. Another thing about Elijah is that Elijah thought that he was completely alone. That's another part of the story that sounds very human to me. Elijah essentially reached the conclusion that what he says that I'm the only one left. Think about what's happening when we're really in a dark emotional place, okay? Our thinking can become very narrow. We may think things like, nobody understands mm-hmm. me, okay? Nobody cares. Nothing is going to change. I'm all by myself. Sometimes these feelings, and when we feel that way, those feelings are real. Okay,
yes,
even though the perception of our situation at the time could be wrong. Okay, Elijah felt alone, but he mm-hmm. he wasn't really alone. But not as alone as he believed he was. And see, that's why connection is so important in mental health. Sometimes we need another person to help us see beyond what we're not able to see in the moment. Okay, so how does Elijah experience may ask this up. So how does Elijah's experience connect with the African-American community? I think